Dunham and Miller.
It's 7:56 on the ticket. You got the morning musers, Giorgio Jr. and Gordo. Coming up here at 8:15, what do LeBron James and Jerry Jones have in common? Here in 1 hour, it's the biggest show coming to town. College football season, just right around the corner. And it's always fun to talk about college football's most interesting coach, or maybe at least most unusual coach.
We have a lot of audio here. It's just fun to listen to Mike Leach talk. And he was the subject of an E60 feature on ESPN done by Jeremy Schapp. And he is the pirate. He's one of the most interesting, most intelligent, most controversial coaches in recent college football history. Wherever he goes, he wins, but he also ruffles a lot of feathers. And the feature starts with Schapp and Leach walking to work. Mike Leach walks 4 miles every day to work and back.
Even if it's snowing up there?
That's his commute. I'm sure there are some exceptions, but he says pretty much no matter what time of day, that's his walk. He walks to and from work. It's kind of cool that he does that. He's a cult figure in Pullman, like he was in Lubbock when he coached the Red Raiders. And we're going to go through some of this audio. We'll get to the real controversial moment for him in Lubbock, and then we'll get to one of the best Mike Leach press conference ramblings at the very end of the segment. But it starts off with him talking to Schapp, and he says he knows what people think of him.
There's a little bit of drama in all this. There's heroes, there's villains. I do think sports are like that. They might hate me, but I'm still a pretty important part of that drama.
And he's important because he's a really good football coach. He and Hal Mumme are basically the creators of the air raid offense. And he took it to really interesting levels when he was Bob Stoops' offensive coordinator at OU for 1 year in 1999. And I remember looking at some of the formations thinking, that is crazy.
Yeah.
You'd never seen it before at that level of college football.
And you put it with those athletes and off they went.
Mm-hmm.
They were great. And yeah, what we're watching now was basically started by him around that time.
So he's different in how he sees the game of football, which, by the way, all of that was sparked. He always wanted to be a coach, and when he was a kid, he first kind of got into coaching baseball. But then when he went to college at BYU, and he was not a player, but just a student, and exposed to that BYU offense, which back in the day, in 1983, when he was there graduating, they threw the ball all over the place back when every other college was running.
Yep.
But when he saw the way BYU threw the ball, that got his mind working, and he got his law degree from Pepperdine, but he went into coaching because he told his wife, I'm going to be happier coaching. We'll make more money if I go into law, but I'm going to come home miserable every night. So she said, please coach. And so he took his first job for $3,000 a year. And he says he doesn't mind being a little different, which can and has gotten him into a lot of trouble.
If you Google Mike Leach, the first things that show up are videos with your thoughts on Bigfoot and UFOs.
Yeah, we found bones of dinosaurs and everything else, but we haven't found bones that I've heard of Bigfoot. On Earth, they say, oh, well, we're the only ones. Really? Why? Have you been to the other planets? Have you checked out the other planets?
Why do you think it is that people in the media, people like me, feel comfortable asking you these questions and you respond to them when no one else in your position will? No one else will just play along.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, coaching's a tunnel vision profession, no question. I guess I think my ideas are as good as anybody else's. So even though I suspect there's no Bigfoot, it'd be kind of interesting if they exist, and the legends are somewhat interesting anyway.
Also, unlike most of his peers, Leach isn't afraid to thrust himself into the world of politics. In 2018, he shared on Twitter a video of Barack Obama making a speech. Only the video had been edited to make it appear that Obama had said things he never actually said.
I wanted a summary of, you know, what Barack's was. And that wasn't a very good one, okay? Because, first of all, it was out of context.
You know? Well, it was more than out of context. It was the exact opposite of what he had actually said.
Well, it was. That's not quite true, because he said those words. It was out of context, so they're about a page apart.
I never took
a position
on
anything.
But you concede, Mike, that that was a video that was deceptively edited to suggest he said things.
Which I did not know that was the case. Okay, first of all, I didn't know that was the case. I wanted something that quickly summarized President Obama's position, which I thought that was it, which it wasn't.
Eventually, Leach would delete the video from his Twitter feed. But his initial refusal to apologize for posting it was costly. Five Washington State alumni who had agreed to donate a total of $1.6 million to the school withdrew their pledges.
And that's the part that he can get the school or the program into trouble. Now, he's not the only coach. He may be the only coach that gets a program into trouble that way by talking about Bigfoot or UFOs or politics.
Yeah.
Other coaches get programs into trouble in different ways, keeping players around or whatever it happens to be, cheating, this and that. He is very unusual. He is a wild ride for that university, but they put up with it in most cases. Texas Tech did for a long time, for a decade, and Washington State is going on a decade there because he wins.
Look how bad they were when he got there. They were one of the worst teams in Division I, certainly among, you know, the top five conferences.
Tech or Washington State?
Well, Washington State, and I think they were even worse than Texas Tech when he got there, and they've won an average of 9 games these last 4 years. But I also think, and this is not going out on a huge limb, I think there'll be some sort of crash and burn at the end of this thing, too. You know, it'll be something like that where he has to apologize and won't, and he'll be stubborn about it, and it'll probably be ugly at the end.
Well, in this E60, they, of course, addressed what happened at Tech, and he took Tech to new heights, got him to number 2 in the country. Texas Tech's best football has been under Mike Leach, without question.
Yep.
But it came crashing down in 2009 with the whole Adam James, Craig James versus Mike Leach situation. And in this E60, he addressed his dismissal at Tech, and he says the Adam James situation gave Tech cover to fire him.
After all you'd done to turn around that program and make it as successful as it was, why would they have it in for you?
It started a year before. So they wanted me to sign a low-ball contract, and I'd been there nearly 10 years. So that was year 9. And all I want is what the market says. And they keep trying to pressure me to sign this contract, or we'll fire you.
Leach would later sue ESPN and a public relations firm for defamation. The suit was eventually dismissed.
What was it like to be in the middle of that, though? It became a big national story. A lot of it on ESPN.
It was terrible. My daughter would cry every night, and my wife was upset. And, you know, it was bad.
So they also detailed that situation. And Adam James, Craig James' son, who was playing football for Leach at the time, suffered a concussion. And according to Craig James, Leach told his staff to go put Adam in a dark room and lock him in there.
Yeah, I think the thing was, hey, he's supposed to, you can't see light and he needs to be still. So he took that and then did a bit with it.
Right. Now, Leach says, I never, ever said that. So it was, he said.
Right.
And I don't know, honestly, who to believe in that whole thing. Part of me, just knowing what we know about Mike Leach, doesn't that seem like something he would do?
Absolutely.
Because he's kind of always up to something,
yeah.
And he's weird, and I could definitely see him ordering Adam James to be locked in a room for a long time, dark room, throw him in the hole.
Yeah.
And he even said in this E60, he was going to be a distraction. I didn't want him to be a distraction, but then he went on to say, I'm coaching this football team. I don't have time to micromanage players like Adam James, who wasn't going to make my team anyway.
Yeah, I think he went back and tried to cover his tracks on that. I think he was being, and that's what gets him in the trouble. he is an unusual guy. He's got this brilliant mind, but he has just these weird impulses sometimes. And I think that, yes, he was in some sort of contract dispute with Texas Tech, but when something happens like that, man, you leave yourself open to a lot of lawsuit trouble. And I know I know some Tech fans that are still mad that he's not there.
Yes.
They wish he was, but to see the administrator's side of it, I can understand why they thought, okay, we've been putting up with this loose cannon for long enough now. We've got to do something else.
Do you think in hindsight they wish they could have worked it out? Or do you think Mike Leach, 10 years in one spot, is about as much as either party can handle? Or, because they look back at it, and since they fired him, they had Tommy Tuberville, and they had Coach Bro, and neither of them ever won a whole lot. I think both of them finished with a sub-500 record in their time at Tech, or right at 500. Do you think Texas Tech says, boy, that was the biggest mistake we've ever made in our football program, getting rid of him? We should have figured out a way to make it work. Or was that asking the impossible?
Yeah, and so much has changed there from administration to athletic director that you would probably get a different answer. I think, I'm guessing with most Raider fans, they wish he was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had never left, and that they were still rolling along with the most unusual coach in college football.
All right, so he's famous for his press conference ramblings. And you heard a little bit there in one of those clips we just played, him talking about UFOs and him talking about Bigfoot. And you can ask him anything in a press conference or on his coach's show. It's almost like he's more interested in talking about those things than he is about football.
Yeah.
Even though he is, make no mistake, very passionate about football, puts in the long hours like all the other coaches with football. But he's got this mind. He is a really bright guy. He's got this mind, and so he's interested in everything. Well, this is funny. This is from not long ago. This just happened. And he finds out in this press conference that one of the sports writers in Pullman is getting married. And so he offers that sports writer some advice right in the middle of this press conference.
My wisdom would be you have to stay out of the way. Now, and I wish you a very happy marriage, and I'm sure you'll have one. But I'm just telling you, when it comes to marriages, the women lose their mind. Your fiancé is going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind. And that they're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which, of course, my answer was, I don't care. And then, what color should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care. Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, well, I want you to be a part of this, too. So what color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it, which is, of course, true.
Isn't that perfect?
Yeah.
And he's kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
He's more than kind of right.
Yeah, he's exactly right.
I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't go on the air with that.
But see, I'm sure someone in Pullman was offended by that. Like, you can't say that.
But
what a blanket statement about women that is.
But it's such a great topic, though. How do you get in those can't-win discussions with, in this case, women sometimes?
Right.
Which is, yeah, do you like the tan ones? Yeah, they're fine. Well, you're not even looking. No, I looked at them. They're fine.
I know.
But I like the blue ones. Okay, that's fine, too. But you're not giving me enough of an opinion.
You know?
Okay, well, then go with the other one. But I like these over here. Just whichever one. Why?
Do you know how many times in all these years with a house full of boys and we had these parties, birthday parties or whatever, should we do this napkin? That boys don't care.
No. Right.
They don't care what color balloons we have at this party. They don't care about themes.
But what I don't get is the argument engineering that goes on.
Oh, like, I know.
Like
I know.
The woman in this hypothetical case is creating an argument.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
She gets mad if you don't disagree with her. And then if you disagree with her and go with something else, then she tries to talk you out of it.
Yes. I think women...
What's the point of that?
Women thrive on drama. And so they have to create these arguments because it's their
some
heroine.
Women thrive on
some
drama.
Women. It's their heroine.
And it's
and so they're
yeah.
going to create something that isn't there so that they can make an argument or have something to feed off of.
And it's their way of combating your lack of interest.
Right.
Because you have so little interest in it, they're just going to, okay, well, what about this? Or you're just saying that because you're not interested.
So you're saying the ultimate goal is they just want you to be interested in it.
Yes, and I think...
And so that's why they try to create a conflict.
You can't avoid a lot of it. Just try that one. Act interested and see how it goes and make that first choice. Yeah, let's go to the blue.
But then what if
really
she says,
like,
well, you're just acting interested? And you're saying, okay, well, then act not interested.
It
and
may
then she
go
says,
that
but
way.
I'm going to get mad at that as well.
Yeah, it may go that way. I can't guarantee that it won't.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld said, women always want to know what men are thinking. Here is the honest answer. Nothing.
Nothing.
We're not thinking anything. No. We don't think about things.
No.
Just we're fine.
Yeah.
We don't have to be invested in all these things that you are invested in. We don't care.
Have you ever been suckered into the argument of where do you want to eat? And you say, well, I don't like she comes in. I'm hungry. Okay. Well, let's go out to eat. Okay. Well, where do you want to go? Well, I don't know. You pick a place. Okay, let's go to the Italian place. I don't want Italian. All right, fine. Well, what do you want? I don't know. Well, then let's go Mexican food then. I'm not really in the mood for Mexican.
Can't really spring that on me.
Well, where do you want to go? I don't know. You pick. I just picked two, and they were wrong.
Oh, man. The genius of Mike Leach.
Yep. I think.
He's gone to something.
Doesn't it seem like men are just constantly trying to minimize conflict? Just yeah. whatever. Just
pare
please,
it down.
Just
let's make a choice.
Let's just all
Yes.
Just all whatever makes come about.
Just let me be because I'm fine.
Yeah, how do we create That's a good one.
We can create more in the world.
All right, it's 8:12 on the ticket. What LeBron and Jarrah have in common next.